Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I'm your host today, Kirk Lowe. Today, I'm interviewing one of my favorite professionals, Matt Halloran. Surprise, surprise. Matt has opened my eyes to the world of podcasting, and it's been the most fun I've had in my career. Matt, thanks for allowing me to do this today, to run with this today. I know you're normally the host of this wonderful podcast series, but today I'm going to grill you, put you on the hot seat, if you will.
All right.
Which isn't very hot because you know your stuff. So, you know, I know that you're a consummate professional and when it comes to taking your craft seriously. And I know one of the things I love about working with you is that you're always trying to get better and you're always pushing everybody else to get better. And so I'm curious, you know, in your role as a podcaster and you're, you know, running podcasts with our clients and running this podcast, what are you learning about podcasting and who are you studying? Like, who are you looking to get better?
Well, I realized very quickly that I know that I really didn't know as much as I thought I knew, which is the reason why I wanted to jump into this. I started taking a master class. There's this great website called Masterclass, and I'm learning from Bob Woodward, who exposed Watergate, All the President's Men, how he was a journalist. So I'm learning a little bit more about journalism, but I become a real big nerd about this, Kirk. So I have a huge list of people.
Become a big nerd.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's true. So I'm just expanding my nerdiness. It all started with Phil Donahue, surprisingly enough. I started watching YouTube videos of how Phil would interview people. There's a great example of his consummate professionalism when he interviewed the minister, Dr. Louis Farrakhan, in the 80s. Just an unbelievable interview. He was able to ask questions that I don't think other people were able to ask just because of his approach. Graham Norton, if anybody's ever watched The Graham Norton Effect, which is a BBC show, he's probably got the best timing. Oprah always makes people cry. I love that. Ellen is amazing, just from a jovial, and again, her timing's amazing. Sally Jesse Raphael, now that's a name from the past, the woman with the huge glasses. Terry Gross, who does Fresh Air on NPR. Joshua Johnson, who does 1A on NPR. Diane Rehm, who used to run one of the shows on NPR, and then Ira Glass. And so what I'm doing is I'm taking notes as I'm listening to these podcasts or I'm watching these interviews on what sort of techniques that I'm able to pull out that they're using, because they make it look so natural. But once you start kind of peeling under the surface and taking a look at it, you'll see that there's true technique involved.
That's really amazing. Those are a lot of incredible professionals and lofty idols for you to pursue, right? Yeah. But that's incredible. I know that you've got a list here of 10 ways to be a better podcaster, which I should have talked about at the start of the show, but that is the essence of what we're going to be talking today, is the 10 ways to be a better podcaster. So why don't you hit us with number one?
It's all about energy, but it's got to be appropriate energy. I have a history of being a little too excited. And there are times where that level of excitement is appropriate for the guest, but you have to meet your client where they are and then check their energy to see if they're putting out enough energy. You have to put twice as much effort into communicating an idea using podcasting because they can't see your micro expressions. They can't see your gesturing. They have to just really focus on your voice. And if you bring the right energy and you really just try to, it's called mirroring is the technique, where you mirror your guest's energy, the podcast will come across a lot smoother. You're going to put your guest at ease a lot faster, and then you're not going to either under or blow out the energy and make your client, or I'm sorry, your guest come across in a way that they shouldn't come across. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And okay. It's an interesting best practice because they tell you, or, you know, business coaches teach you about how, when you're in a meeting with somebody face to face, how you can mirror somebody as well. Mm-hmm. And if they're crossing their arms, or maybe that's not the best example, but if they're, you know, how to meet their energy, how to experience what's going on in similar ways that they are doing it. So that's a really neat point. So what about number two?
So number two and number three are really close together. Number two is know your guest. Number three is be prepared. So know your guest. Knowing your guest is more than being prepared, because it has to do with trying to get into the psyche of your guest. When I'm preparing for a podcast, one of the first things that I will do is I will absolutely stalk them on every aspect of social media. I'll look at their websites. I watch every video I possibly can, just so that I can start feeling like I can get into the appropriate character to pull out the best of that client. I also like reading what they're posting on social media, whether it's personally or professionally. And luckily, a lot of our guests don't know the security parameters of social media, so you can pretty much see everything that they post. And that allows me to philosophically understand where the client is coming from, and also allows me to know if there are hot button issues that I should stay away from, or things that they're very passionate about that I should address during the podcast. Which brings us to be prepared. Being prepared is much more like being a journalist. I read everything I can. If they've got a white paper that we're talking about, I actually read the entire white paper. If they have a book that we're talking about, I'm familiar with every chapter of the book. I have notes in front of me so that I can look, and this is really important, look like I've done my research. My guests on this show, Kirk, that we've brought on, which we are so lucky with some of the guests that we get. I mean, we work hard for it, don't get me wrong, but we have some pretty amazing people on this show. And I want them to realize that I truly believe that they're amazing. And one of the comments that is probably the best feedback I can get is, one, they had a good time. That makes me super happy. Number two, that it was very easy to be a guest on your show. And three, that you were really prepared.
I think that number three is probably going to be the most overwhelming to the people listening to our podcast today. Mm-hmm. Like, do they have the time? So can you give us a little bit of a breakdown about what you think the expectation should be? Because not everybody's going to have hours to research a guest. I'm assuming it. I'm not saying that's the best way to approach it, but if you have less time, how would you go about that? Or what would you recommend to the listeners?
You can't take less time. And that's the unfortunate thing. I'm doing, for Top Advisor Marketing Podcast now, I'm recording anywhere from 3 to 5 guests a week. So that's almost once a day. Mm-hmm. I spend a solid hour before the podcast, usually the day before, so that I can truly digest it. I spend an hour researching each of my clients. Now, I know Joshua Johnson and Terry Gross, who are two of my heroes. This is all they do. Obviously, Terry Gross runs Fresh Air. Joshua Johnson runs 1A. They're preparing weeks in advance for their clients and their guests. I have no idea how either of them are really able to do it because they're on so much. But mm-hmm. like Terry Gross will read the entire book before you're on her show. So you can't skimp on that. If you're interviewing somebody, and we really recommend that you do this, by the way, if you're a financial services professional, estate planning attorney, realtor, CPA, if you're interviewing somebody who's kind of special, right? Maybe somebody in the community that's a figurehead or something. You have to do your research. You have to put in your time. If you don't interview the person.
Right. I believe that for professionals, in particular journalists who are doing so many, a lot of times they have people who yep. create Cole's Notes versions of that mm-hmm. research, right?
Right.
So that they don't have to spend all that time reading the book. But I agree that, you know, if you want to be the best in your craft, you have to be on your game. And that's one way to be on your game. So you and I don't always see, you know, perfectly eye to eye. I don't think we're like PTI or pardon the interruption in the sports and ESPN. Yeah. But I think finding a way to get as much as you can to do a really good job in the moment is important. But I understand that you're always pushing your craft. And so I think for most listeners, maybe there's going to be a balance, but I don't disagree that if you want to be really good at this, which is where you're going to get the most success and the most value from starting your own podcast, is being really good at it, that you have to find that balance for yourself. But I agree that, you know, if you want to be a pro, you got to do the work. So point number four, I think, you know, hopefully you're hearing a little bit of that here today.
Yeah.
Like, give us number four.
Yeah. It's listen with more than your ears. And number six, by the way, will hopefully put some people at ease with the be prepared. So I'll talk about that in a second, but listen with more than your ears. And part of it, and this is going to sound dorky as all heck, I close my eyes during most of the podcast. And since I've already done my due diligence, I know what the person looks like. And if I've seen them speak, if I've listened to their podcast, I'm visualizing what they're doing on the other side of the mic. I'm also listening for space. A lot of times when somebody, even if they take an extra second, that tells me as the interviewer that I've either touched on something that they have to be more thoughtful about, or that it's a very important point. Also listen for inflection. Just try to do whatever you can to listen more than the words that are coming out of their mouth, because those spaces, those inflections, the pace, the pentameter, all of those things can be very, very telling. And there are great, great books out there on how to listen with more than your ears, how to listen to more than the words that are coming out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah, I speak with financial advisors at least four a day, and I've been doing that for a lot of years. And I always find for myself, it's a challenge too, but for advisors is to be able to listen and interject at the right times and not, you know, push your ideas out too quickly and think that you already know where somebody's going. So I think listening isn't just important for, you know, what we're doing on a podcast, but just even in meetings and you know, especially discovery sessions and where we're sharing strategies and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, those are four good lessons. We're on to when we get to number five, I'll go back and review them.
Okay.
But number five is another really interesting one.
So convey the emotion that you want to elicit from the guest. Ernest Hemingway, and I say this often, you probably heard me say this on the podcast before, but Ernest Hemingway said, if I'm not crying when I'm writing it, I can't expect the reader to cry when they're reading it. Now, that's just about a very intense emotion. But if you want to pull out something that is emotionally charged from the client, you have to be putting that energy out there. You have to help elicit that. I was interviewing a woman a little while ago. The podcast is actually live now, who was one of the key figures in gay marriage becoming legal in the United States. And there was a moment where we both got quite emotional. And what I did was I met her where she was at. I knew that she really stuck her neck out in Arizona. It was truly an amazing just strength that she portrayed, not just with her relationship, but also in the community and then outside of the community in the press. And it was a very powerful, emotive story that she was telling. And my job as a podcast host, one is to give her the space to exhibit those emotions, because a lot of times when you're asking somebody to tell a story, those stories do have emotions tied to it. So don't ever try to interrupt an emotion. Always let that emotion, it's like a wave. It'll crest and then it'll go away. And if you try to fight that emotion, actually, you're going to get blown back and the podcast isn't going to be as good. So make sure that you're always paying very, very close attention to whatever emotional undertones that are there and meet those clients where they're at and make sure you give them the space to do it.
It's kind of reminds me of the idea that if you want a podcast, or if you want to have moments, if you will, in your marketing or in your practice, in particular, your podcast, just let them happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you've been telling me for so long is that when you're in a podcast, it shouldn't be perfect. It's okay if you stutter, be yourself. And if you let a podcast be itself, that's a powerful thing. That's a moment in your podcast to get to. And so I think that's pretty neat advice. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I as evidenced by, it's really weird being on this side of the mic, Kirk, just to warn you, I'm always the one in control in interviewing, and I feel like I'm talking so much more than I usually do on these podcasts because I'm never the one talking. But yes, you have to have that. You have to allow the imperfections. In fact, number nine, which is about setting expectations, that's part of my introduction to the podcast when I have a guest, is this is not perfect. It's not meant to be perfect. We'll edit out the ums and ohs and sos and mouth slaps and all of that sort of stuff. But I want it to sound like it's conversational. I love it when you're done with a podcast and you feel like you were that special fly that's on the wall and getting to hear something that's truly unique and special and different. Some of the best podcasts that I personally listen to, one is called Storytellers Telling Stories. That's how you feel in every one of the podcasts, is that you're just this little bug on the wall and you're getting to see this intimate, wonderful something unrolling, story unfolding, somebody's life unfolding right in front of you. And you're just that privileged person who gets to experience it.
I think that's probably my favorite thing about podcasting, about listening to a podcast. And I try to explain that to advisors that we talk to who are new to this and, you know, what is it and why should I be doing it in my business? It's people feel like they're that fly on the wall. And, you know, if people are interested in financial marketing and you and I are sitting here having a conversation and I've been doing it for 18 years and you've been doing it forever, you know, coaching and all, you know, there's, if we can talk about little things or it's a little idea or yeah, I have that experience too, whatever it might be, it's like you're in the room kind of having a coffee with us and you get to experience that and we're being ourselves. We're not in a webinar trying to make a sale, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's one of my favorite things about podcasting is that opportunity to be authentic, to not feel like you're on a stage and being nervous and maybe that changes the way you would deliver something or the expectations you have for what outcome needs to come from it. I think it's just, there's a casualness yet a professionalism to it. And then it just fits in your, it can fit in your life, mm-hmm. you know, instead of having to watch something and be, you know, so immersed in it. Anyhow, so we've gone through the first five. I'll review them and then we're going to go to our next five. So the first one was, it's all about energy. The second one was know your guest. Third one is be prepared. The fourth one is listen more than with your ears. Listen with more than your ears. And number five is convey the emotion that you want to elicit from your guest. So let's get on to number six here.
Number six is where this is what's going to separate you from every other podcaster out there. Because you're right, Kirk, the having something be casual, one of the ways that you can put your guests at ease is to have a format, have a structured opening and closing, have a structured set of questions. What we do ahead of time at Top Advisor Marketing is we send all of our clients, all of our guests, a set of 10 questions. And these questions just get the guest primed. And I tell them that I'm going to ask you these questions throughout the podcast, but our format is I am going to use what you're saying and pivot from there. So again, it does sound a little bit more natural. I'm not going to just go, you know, ask you question number one, ask you question number two, because if I ask you question number one and your answer leads me to question number six, I'm going to question six. Now, I don't always recommend that. I have been doing this a long time. Kirk, you know, I figured out that since we've been doing this, you know, I'm at about 300 podcasts now that I've done with either clients or with Tam. And so after you've done a couple hundred of these, you have the flexibility to maneuver and be a little bit more flexible and still make the guest feel that there's a format to the podcast. There are some great examples of terrible formats that are national podcasts. I'm not going to call those people out, but some people are just way too strict and adhere too much to a format. And it just, you don't feel like that fly on the wall. You feel like somebody's grilling you with questions. And I don't want to do that.
I think the neat thing about having a format is that you can actually stray from it when it makes sense in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then you can be brought back. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is the reason the format works so well, and if everybody wants to know, Matt and I are sharing a MindMeister mind map with all the points that we're going to talk about. There's no script in here. It's just the points. We have an intro, key points, and then we got our call to action. We got a couple things. And I think we should do a podcast on the format. Maybe we can do that next couple weeks. But when you have a format, you can go on a tangent. You want sometimes to go on a tangent because there's a cool story there, or let me tell you about this point or this story that, you know, this thing that happened to me. But then the interviewer, the host, they can get you back. Okay, that was a great story. Let's get back to point number seven. How about that? Mm-hmm. I'm actually starting. I'm actually bringing you back. I'm bringing myself back. So that was number six. Have a format. So what's number seven?
Number seven is check your energy. And what I mean by that is you need to consistently throughout the whole podcast, not just bring the right energy to the podcast, but you need to be flexible with that energy. There are times where you're going to have to really boost your energy if your guest is exhibiting low energy, if they're trailing off. You can tell that if you ever do audio recording, you can actually see a reduction in the volume of the wave pattern. If you notice that as a podcaster, that every time the person talks, they're starting to trail off at the end, you have to bring your energy up. But the other part about check your energy is to be genuine. Please don't say something's great if you don't think it's great, because people are going to sniff it out. We were interviewing a woman, her name is Danielle Howard. She is one of our clients. She's written an amazing book. It's called Your Financial Revolution. And she was talking about the four money personalities. And she blew me away. And she had said something and I didn't respond immediately because I was really honestly trying to absorb what she said, because it just really resonated with me. And Danielle said, "Are you still there?" And I said, "I am still here. I'm taking notes. You just, like, my head just exploded because I just realized that that money personality is exactly who I am, because there's primary and secondary money personalities." And after the podcast got done, she was like, "Were you really taking notes?" I was like, so I took a picture of it. And I sent it to her. She's like, "Oh my gosh, look at how many notes you've taken." I'm like, this was one of the most fascinating podcasts I've ever been on. And when you come into a podcast with a clean slate, with tabula rasa, right, with no preconceived notions, and you're going to meet the client where they're at, and you're going to truly want to be genuinely interested in what they're saying because you respect the person, always try to do that. You don't want to come into a podcast with a big head and massive ego because, hell, I know everything. If you go in realizing that on the grand scheme of things in the world, you know a minute fraction of a minute fraction, all of your energy, all of the things that we've talked about up until this one, number seven, is just going to make for a better podcast.
Absolutely. So we got seven of our 10. Number eight, I find this one really fascinating. I'm just joking. I think I find it funny because we've shared video when we're doing our podcast before, and I've called you out on this one because I find it just delightful to watch you go.
Well, elaborate on that. So why don't you take number eight and tell how you laugh at me during podcasts when we're on video together?
Yeah. I mean, we don't do it as much just because it's the bandwidth challenge at times. Just want to negatively impact the audio. But when Matt is in his zone, which is pretty much all the time on a podcast, his hands and his face and his body, everything's moving. And it's actually quite fun, because when you see somebody, how engaged they are, you can tell how engaged, Matt, you are in all your host interviews and all your podcasts. But when you see it, it's infectious. And one of the things that I really struggled with when I started podcasting was I not having enough energy. Mm-hmm. And you brought enough energy to kind of pick me up and made me much better at doing this. Heck of a long way to go. And I'm probably only at 50 podcasts, maybe. Yeah, maybe 100, something like that. Anyway, but that's a really big one, is to feel like you're in the moment physically, mm-hmm. not just mindfully, and enjoy it and be dramatic. And I've got my hands going now, flying around, because I'm trying to, it's as if I think you guys can see me. But you can tell right now, if you can't, you can tell that I've just picked up my energy, because I'm mimicking what I see from you, mm-hmm. which is pretty interesting. So that's point number eight. I'm sure you have something to add to it.
Well, I remember the first time, and it was a long time ago, 18 months ago, I think, when we did our first Top Advisor Radio podcast, and we were sharing video, and you stopped me and you're like, "Dude, you're freaking out over there." Cause I mean, whatever we were talking about, I was just super excited about. And I forget that my camera's on a lot of times when we're doing that stuff, or when we used to do that. But if you go back and listen at about the 23-minute mark of this podcast when Kirk is explaining number eight. When he says that he's gesturing, his voice changed. So go back and listen to that, because it was super awesome, because he was, you know, Matt's helped me bring my energy up. And then all of a sudden Kirk starts bringing his energy up, and you don't see it. But if you close your eyes and you are in your mind's eye, you can tell that Kirk's getting more excited, that he's bringing more energy to it. And that's how transparent podcasting is. A lot of people think that, you know, this mic is just the screen and, you know, nobody can see you. Yes, maybe they don't see you with their eyes, but they're seeing you with your ears. They're seeing you with their heart. They're feeling you. They're experiencing you. And it's just such an amazing medium.
Well, that's a great segue into point number nine, which is really how do you connect with your guest and make sure that you're going to get the most out of the show. So hit us with number nine,
Big. Right. Every time I have a guest on, we take the first 10 minutes and I warm them up. Now, they don't necessarily know that I'm warming them up, because your voice is just like any other muscle. I want to make sure that they're speaking clearly and I can hear when they get into rhythm. But I'm asking them questions, asking them about who they are, what they do. You know, I'm asking them about their videos or their offerings or their systems or really what makes them unique or different. And once you get somebody talking about themselves, and they're getting into that comfort zone of maybe being a little braggarty, which is fine. That's when I am able to set very clear expectations. So after I've warmed them up, and again, that takes about 10 minutes. And for those of you who've been guests on the podcast, you'll be like, oh my God, that's what he was doing? Because I don't tell them that's what I'm doing. But I set very clear expectations, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I say to them. I say, this podcast is not live. This is not gotcha journalism. I'm never going to ask you a question unless I say right now I'm going to play devil's advocate and you can tell me no, which is fine. If you don't like any of the questions that I'm asking you, all you have to do is say, Matt, I don't want to answer that question. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to take any sort of offense to that. We'll just move on to the next question and my editing team will edit it out. If you are halfway through a statement and you don't like what you're saying, I need you to say stop. Give us 1 second in between stop, and then you can start over again. If you say stop and say, Matt, will you ask me the next question or that question again? I will be glad to ask you that question again. Remember, this podcast is about you. My job is to make you look good, sound good, and pitch whatever you want to pitch that's truly unique and different and changes the financial services industry. At the end of the podcast, what we're going to do is I'm going to do a brief closing, and the closing sounds like, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic really soon. Then I'm going to tell you we're out. At the end of the podcast, I would really like it if you would provide me with any feedback so that I can always become a better podcaster. So, Kirk, as you can tell, I say that all the time. I've said that hundreds of times.
That's fantastic.
But that puts my guests at ease. Now, I didn't say, oh, I also say that the podcast is 26 minutes long. Sorry, I usually say that on the front end. But that puts my client at ease because, man, did I just sound organized or what?
Absolutely. So everybody who's listening, if you're going to be starting your own podcast or you're already doing one, a lot of great points here to, you know, make to be a better podcaster. And when you're a better podcaster, you're going to have more fun. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to get more exposure because people like listening to quality. But don't freak out and not get started because you think you can't get to where you need to be, because stepping out of your comfort zone is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I stepped out of mine to start this. Mm-hmm. And it's like I said in the intro, it's the most fun I've had in my business, because this is like an outlet for us. Mm-hmm. It could, and we don't come here frustrated, but we come here trying to be help, use any frustrations that we have in our world, our day to day, and come out here and express them in a way that's going to help people move ahead in their business and life. So those are the first 9 points. And number 10 is a really important one. Really, really important. So yeah, that's with that.
And this is one that I've struggled with as a podcast host, when we are doing something that's like us, like right now. But I also talk about this after I say, you know, when you know, my job is to make you look good, sound good, and to pitch whatever you want. I tell the guests they have to have a call to action. So the call to action has to be something very clear and succinct. download my white paper, come to an event, you know, go to our Q&A site on our website or our Q&A page on our website, download this video, buy a copy of my book. And that's what's super cool about doing the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, Kirk, is most of our people have written books or they've written kick-ass. Some of them have done TED Talks. Some of them have done this. And so we always include those links, that call to action link in the show notes so that people can just click on it and then take that action for them. But you have to have a very, very clear and succinct call to action. You have their attention 30 minutes into the podcast, 20 minutes into the podcast, you've already established trust in that you're an expert. If you have had a good podcast host that, or you are a good podcast host that exemplifies and amplifies those points of expertise, and then really get them good at the end. Nobody's going to mind if you ask them to download the white paper. Now, if you're saying, you know, write me a check for $100,000, that's not a good call to action, but something very simple that's an easy incremental step to them becoming a client, becoming a guest, becoming a center of influence. That's really what you want to do for a call to action.
Absolutely. So do we have a call to action for
the
show?
We do, surprisingly enough.
That's good.
So our call to action is we obviously would love to have everybody who's listening to this as a client of our podcasting and social service. We have a complete podcasting and social solution for advisors. There isn't anybody out in the marketplace who's doing what we're doing with the level of experience that we have with financial services professionals. So we would love for all of you to be clients, but here's the deal. Not everybody can afford it. Not everybody wants to do it with somebody else. A lot of you might want to try this on your own. So our call to action is we want you to download our white paper, which the link, once again, will be in the show notes. It's a complete guide to starting your own podcast. Kirk and I send this out to people all the time. In fact, this and Death by Referrals are our two most downloaded white papers that we have. This is a complete step by step. We walk you through everything from what sort of technology you need, software. We even tell you if you want to start off, you can start off with a $10 mic, or if you really want to sound amazing, you can spend $10,000 on a mic. We talk about the different software, post-production, pre-production, format, a syndication, how do you get your podcast on iTunes, Spotify, all of those things. We cover it all. If you're the do-it-yourselfer, if you love diving into technology and you want to spend 4 to 6 hours a month executing your own podcast, then this document is the document of documents.
A $10,000 mic? Are you kidding me? That is insane. When you said that, I was like, my brain just couldn't get off that.
Well, Kirk,
I'm sure there is a $10,000.
Just to warn you, the mic I want is $15,000. So,
oh my goodness,
it's got gold inside of it.
What's that going to do for us? What's it going to do for me?
It makes me feel special. It doesn't do anything for us.
Well,
it just makes me feel pretty cool standing in front of a mic that costs more than, you know, my car. So anyway,
yeah. So I'm going to steal this last point from you because you stole the. Well, I teed you up to steal the call to action. So we talk about this all the time. And so we're going to see it again. But as a financial advisor, the one thing that you're really good at typically, or whatever service professional, you know, whether you're CPA or attorney, you're good at talking. You know your stuff. You know the problems, the obstacles, the issues, and the solutions that people need to hear. You know all these things, and you can talk. So step out of your comfort zone and start a podcast. Start talking for your marketing. I've not met many financial advisors over the years who really enjoy writing and who are disciplined enough to put it in their calendar and get it done on a weekly or monthly basis. It's what actually got us to the point where we started our own podcast and decided that this was the ticket for advisors. This was for us, an answer to a problem that we hadn't solved in this business for years, which was how do we make it easier and happens to be really fun for advisors to produce content that showcase them as an expert and build credibility. And those are some of the most important parts of marketing. And they're right in front of you because you're already good at talking. It's just about making that step. So get comfortable with the idea, start thinking about it. And maybe it's getting uncomfortable with the idea that maybe a podcast is a good option for you. Mm-hmm. It's certainly moving in the right direction. And stop worrying about all the ROI all the time. my goodness, you have a beautiful office. Where's the ROI? Have you ever calculated the ROI in your office? Start thinking about finding ways that are going to just be new experiences for you in your business. And I think that's any final thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, this is not something that happens overnight. And I really, really can't stress that enough. Kirk and I, we're 18 months into producing podcasts often. We release at least two podcasts a week. It took about 12 months before we started seeing, and I'm not going to say ROI, but traction. And now, just so everybody knows, this is our number one lead generator. We are getting inbound calls 2 to 3 times a week. We're getting people who are just signing up for our service without it going through any sort of formalized sales process. And it can be the same thing for you as an advisor. Once you get that listenership, once you create that personality, once you've given so much value away that they already feel like they're working with you, you're going to have people who are just going to show up. I've got a client, Kirk, who does a radio show, but he also streams it live on Facebook. And he's been doing it for about a year now. And in fact, he's going to start at the beginning of the year, turning it into a podcast that is, his stuff has a little bit more legs. But because he's been doing it consistently, he has people on the street in his town say, "Oh my gosh, I was watching your live stream of, you know, how to be a better person." Cause he just doesn't do dry financial topics. He does, it's about life. And it changed his game, and it's really starting to bring him the visibility that he's always wanted in his community. And you can have the same thing with podcasting. You just have to give it, you have to give it time.
Absolutely. I think probably my favorite thing, the you know, the leads coming and everybody being excited about podcasting is really good, and that's a fun place to be. But I think the inspiring other people, mm-hmm. like our centers of influence, our peers, mm-hmm. how excited they are about having people they know work with us, I find that's really neat, because we've expanded our horizon. It's just unreal. And we're just at the start. Mm-hmm. That part is so interesting, because not everything ends up being a client, but sometimes it's just, we just learn something from somebody that hadn't met before, you know, them being a guest, mm-hmm. right? I didn't know that service even existed. I didn't know who was in the, you know, now all of a sudden I know more about that. So we learn a lot. Our network's expanding like crazy, and it's not always with obvious people. Sometimes opportunities come from weird places, right? When people, and not weird in a bad way, in a good way. And I think that just opens up people to this idea of abundance. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have that mentality going into podcasting, you'll get a lot more out of it, because you'll be open to interesting things happening instead of it feeling like, geez, how come I'm not getting sales? How come I'm not, mm-hmm. you know? Be open to things happening. It'll all work out, because marketing is about exposure. It's about credibility. It's about creating trust and all these things. And that's exactly what this is doing. So stop always worrying about exactly how it's going to unfold and getting, you know, this idea of what you think you need to get for ROI, and open your mind and start exploring something new.
You just triggered something. Hold on, Kirk. You just triggered something. I got to just jump in here real quick. We have even had our competition on this podcast. I'm going to bring up two people who I adore and who are great podcast guests. One is Steve Wershing. Steve Wershing is a marketing and branding guy. He's written books. He's got a great program. Unbelievable value this guy provides. But he's a direct competition to us, and we had him on the podcast. I learned so much. But the one recently that has blown me away is a woman named Adri Miller Heckman. Please look her up online. Check out what she does. And again, she does something very similar to what we do. She is unbelievable. Her energy is amazing. Her depth of knowledge is phenomenal. Her product offerings are reasonable, but so valuable. I love bringing people on who are, you know, people who would technically be direct competition, because one, they're not competition when it comes to social media and podcasting, but they are from our marketing and branding standpoint. But Kirk, I get to learn stuff, and then I bring it back to you, and I'm like, oh my God, I just had this great interview with somebody. And you're like, wow, that's a great idea. Why wouldn't you do that? right? We do live in a world of abundance, everybody. There are so many people who need your help. There's so many people who need our help. Why don't we just help each other? Because a rising tide lifts all boats. That's it. That's all I got.
So I think we just added some, you know, some other key points there that weren't in our list. But that's why you got to hang around on podcasts, because sometimes it's when the curtains are coming down and the conversation just keeps going. Anyway, thanks for being on our listening to our podcast today, everybody. This is Top Advisor Marketing Podcast with your host, Kirk Lowe, and our wonderful guest today, Matt Halloran, who is normally the host of the show. Thanks for tuning in. And as Matt says, we'll see you on the other side of the mic.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.